Let's go. You're listening to WBH Radio. I'm your host, William Holly. Thank you for tuning into the special episode. Got my guy in the building. He was an all-conference basketball player at Brooklyn College. He's a physical education teacher here in New York City, a head varsity basketball coach, director of Loyal to the Game, commissioner of the Loyal to the Game Summer Classic. My man, Kayvon Baker. Mr. Baker.
Happy to be back, man. Happy to be back. It's been a while.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. If you could paint a picture for me and the audience, summer basketball in New York City, man. What's it like? What's going on? Where is it happening at? Just paint a picture for us.
If I had to tell someone outside of New York, is anyone, I'd say it's a lot of moving parts, a lot of smiles, a lot of competition. A lot of egos, a lot of egos that, you know, that's from the top to the bottom. But I would definitely say it's something, as a basketball player, if you live anywhere near the tri-state area, you definitely want to experience. I mean, I don't think summer basketball or outdoor basketball is as good anywhere else. Yeah. I mean, not to offend anywhere else, but I think, you know, aside from having great guards, summer basketball is one thing that New York is known for, you know what I mean?
So. Indeed, going back to, was it Earl Manning going to Rucker, summer basketball in New York City is where KD came out and dropped to 66. Like, it's a lot of energy. A lot of people out, kids were eating ices on the fence, watching the game, a lot of energy. And last year, we ain't have that because of the global pandemic. For you personally, the last 20 years, you've been either playing, coaching, or working as a tournament organizer. What was it like for you last year with no basketball being had?
I was lost, I could be honest. I was lost. You're so used to your June through August being scheduled for you, or, you know, somewhat set in stone, that, you know, that with that ample time on your hand, there's just so many different ways you could go. You know, I don't think the kids understand a lot of times basketball is an outlet for us coaches too, you know what I mean? Sure. For the directors, for your parents, you know, something where we could all just engage in and pray for positive outcomes. Everything isn't like that, you know, the older I've gotten, you know, just a lot more responsibility and obstacles, you know, into having a good day. So most of the time when basketball is part of your day, it's almost a good day. So, you know, I mean, that idle time was definitely difficult.
What impact do you think it had on the youth?
I think the impact could have been lessened, but what really impacted our youth in a big way was when they took the rims off the backboards.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we went to exercise social distancing and, you know, staying to yourself and things like that, but you couldn't even go to a park by yourself,
right,
you know, and relieve some stress. And, you know, a lot of kids, they look forward to getting, you know, a lot of kids have tough living situations. You know, the basketball court is their safe haven, whether they're by themselves or with their friends. So I think that hurt us tremendously when they took the rims down. Because, you know, we all know a lot of people were still outside, you know, during the pandemic and stuff like that. But not having the rims or not having the courts being able to be used, I think that was really tough. And also, it really hurt the development of a lot of kids.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure every coach could attest that it hurt the class of 2021 the most.
Wow.
Like, you go your entire life preparing for your senior year of high school and, you know, going out with your teammates or possibly moving on to the next level. And kids really got stripped of that opportunity. I don't know how I would have handled that, to be honest.
It would have been tough. It would have been tough at that age. And it wasn't until I saw some of the kids, I realized how impactful it was from a health standpoint. A lot of kids put on a lot of weight.
A lot of weight, man. You look at some of these pictures when basketball was first starting up, and I couldn't recognize some of these kids. They're growing east and west.
Right.
Nobody getting taller. Everyone's getting wider. And just to go back to your previous question, what I really just thought of is, like, my best friends to this day, the guys I hang out with and talk to every day, they were on my team my senior year of high school.
Yeah.
Like, we went through our best times together. So a lot of kids really got stripped of that, you know, that network, those bonds. The guys you go to battle with and you leave it all out there with. It's just a lasting friendship, so.
Definitely a major impact on the youth, man. And we're not saying whether it was right or wrong what the city did, but it was impactful, not only from a physical standpoint, but psychologically. A lot of these young people identify with the game, and you say that's their network, that's their outlet. We had a young man who we reached out to, like, okay, it's time to come back to basketball practice. And he said, yo, coach, I ain't played ball in a year. Like, I don't want to go back out there.
Yeah, like, I'm afraid of what might happen when I step back on the court. I was like, I mean, we all in the same boat. Right. You don't got to feel that way, but, I mean, not that I had to understand, but he had a point. Yeah. He's like, you know what I mean? Basketball hasn't been part of my life for like a year and a half now. I'm doing other things, so.
That was real. That was real. I saw on your social media last year, NYC Commission. What was that about?
Well, the directors of all the summer leagues in the boroughs, we sort of figured that as a city, you know, the five boroughs, we figured that we'd have a better chance at renewing summer basketball or outdoor basketball a lot quicker if the parks department, if the city, if the politicians saw we were all on the same page. Mm-hmm. You know, if the tournament and directors in Brooklyn, Bronx, Manhattan, if we're all following the same rules, same protocols, maybe that will relieve some liability or some worries, you know, that the higher powers had that was, you know, delaying us in getting the backboards back, I mean, the rims back up and having our tournament. So we figured if there was one set of rules across the city, you know, we'll be doing everybody a favor in expediting coming back to playing basketball. So it was pretty good.
What were some of those directors you were a part of the commission with?
I met a lot of people.
Some of the tournaments they represent.
Some of them I were good friends with, but part of the commission, I would say Ken Stevens from Dykeman. He was the one that was handling the weekly meetings, making sure we had everything set up, times. I mean, the best of the best were there in those meetings. We had Joe Cruz from Hoops and the Suns. We had DP from Gersh. I forgot his name, but the director from West 4th was there. Just about every tournament you can name was involved. And it was good. It should have been like that before. You know, it should be like that after because, you know, most of our tournaments, we have the same teams participating, traveling to and from. It'd be better for everyone involved if we're on the same page. But, you know, at that time, we just felt it was more necessary than ever that everybody comes together and just shows unity.
Yeah. So you guys weren't sitting on your hands. You actually formed a united front, and you felt that was the best course of action to help get the city, the government, the politicians, and the community on board and try to get us back outside, man. I was thoroughly impressed by that, son. Kudos to you, man.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We met twice a week. We tried to show a lot of solidarity. Like, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, everything we do revolves around the same thing. It revolves about uplifting the community and providing quality basketball. So there has to be some common ground, whether you're in the Bronx, in Manhattan, whether you got a limited division, a 10 and under. Like, at the end of the day, we want to provide a safe haven where athletes could participate, where we could keep people off the street, you know, keep people focused on something positive. It just has to be common ground, no matter how you do it. So it was definitely a good thing. And like I said, I met a lot of people that I never met through that, even though, you know, you communicate throughout their tournaments and stuff like that. But to just cross-reference and exchange ideas, it was different.
That was good. That was good to see all of the organizers on one accord. Because United, we can be very strong. I don't think people understand. You guys don't just decide to show up to a park and conduct the tournament. You actually work hand in hand. You actually have to apply for permits,
right,
to run these events. And this year, you applied,
right, and we back. We're back. Oh man, we're back. I'm telling you. Yeah, like you said, it's a lot of behind the scenes work. It gets a little more routine. You know, after you've been established, the parks department kind of tries their best to look out for you and things like that. But building that initial trust is probably it's the most difficult thing. Like. On the flips, it's like a two-headed coin. Like, a lot of positive things happen in the parks. You know, say a lot of negative things happen in the parks. It's also a place where people go, you know, to misbehave and, you know, just use the space for negative things. So, like, we live in a city where there's a lot of moving parts. Like I said earlier, you know, liability is a big thing. We got to make sure nobody gets hurt. We got to make sure we're protected, the facilities protected as in the park and things like that. So, it is a process.
It is a process. And you got your permit this year.
We got our permit.
And you said you're back. What's back?
All right. We will be having, I keep getting caught up saying seventh annual, but we were off last year. So we will be having the seventh season of the LTG Summer League. We started back in 2014. We went six consecutive years until the pandemic put a halt to it. So we're back for lucky number seven, year seven.
Summer League, where's it taking place?
It's taking place. What Harry Mays Playground, a.k.a. NAS Park, July 3rd, day before the holiday. opening day, right? If you don't know where Harry Mays Playground is, it's directly across the street from Nazareth High School on Avenue D. We'll have at least 25 teams this year, from middle school up to high school, boys and girls, the best of the best.
What division? What ages we got?
We got 14 and under, 16 and under boys, varsity boys, and varsity girls.
Okay.
And at the end of the summer, this is the first place we're saying this, but we will be having a 10U and 12U tournament. So we going with the biddies as well. So we got everybody.
Got everybody. Look at that. You're breaking news.
We got everybody. Yeah, you're the first person to hear that. But might as well.
Before we talk about this summer, the last time we played, remind us, what happened? What was going on? Who were some of the champions? What are some of the awards you gave out?
2019 was definitely the best year of the LTG Summer League. So I want to shout out to all the teams that were a part of that. We took a big leap overall in talent and community interaction and crowd numbers, mm-hmm. everything. We really turned it up. We had new champions in our 16 and under boys division. We had new champions in all our boys divisions. Team Shockwave won our varsity division. They came through their first season. They took the championship, led by Coach Kess. And in the 16 and under, we had Team Good Life win that championship their first year in that division. Mm-hmm. They've been in the tournament before, but they moved up, added a few pieces, and they definitely got it done. They will be, both teams are coming back this year, so, you know, they will be the hunted.
Gotcha.
Girls' side, once again, we had a five-peat. We had a five-peat by the ladies from South Shore. So for all my girls' programs out there listening, we're looking for a team to knock them off, man. Right. We're looking for a team to knock them off. They do a good job every year. They come prepared, and, you know, they want to play the best. So when I say knock them off, I say they're ready to fight. So we're looking for that.
You also give out what type of hardware are you giving out?
Well, for our varsity division, we really try. I can explain to you like this: that varsity division, boys and girls, it's our pro division. Okay. You know, we don't have an unlimited division. We don't cater to men's or women's basketball. You know, we're high school down. All right, so those varsity boys and varsity girls divisions are our pro divisions. So they get MVPs regular season. Championship game MVP, sportsmanship. We announce an all-tournament team. Our coaches receive championships awards if they win the championship. So we really try to mimic the pros for that division. You know, give them that experience of team success as well as individual success when it's earned. So I would describe it like that.
This is going to be the seventh season. For those who don't know, I know Kayvon from back when we were teammates at Kingsborough Community College. He was 19 years old, and that was always his vision, to have this tournament. And we speak about the commission that you were part of, guys from Dykeman, Gers, Hoops in the Sun. You don't have a pro division. Your focus was always high school and the youth. Why was that? Why was that your focus?
It's definitely a different element. I live to influence, you know what I mean? Like, I'm a positive dude. My intentions are good nearly all the time, so I live to influence. I believe, you know, the younger an individual is, the more they're open to, not easier, but the more likely they are to follow good advice. Like, those pro divisions.
Handful?
It's already over. It's already over. Like, you know, I mean, like, good luck. Good luck. I mean, those guys, not that it's always a bad thing, but they're stuck in their way. They don't need as much help. Let's put it like that. Okay. They don't need as much help, right? Mm-hmm. The youth are the ones that need our help. The guys going off to college. You know what I mean? You got guys in the pro divisions and the unlimited divisions, and I love it. I go to all the games at Gersh. I recently started to go into BSBL. Shout out to the Bed-Stuy Basketball League, but I love it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I play with a lot of those guys growing up, but, you know, they're coming home from this country, that country, like, they are well versed in what to do and how to operate in the basketball world. It's the next generation that we want to make sure gets that schooling and make sure that they're prepared for those opportunities. So when it comes that way, they don't drop the ball. I don't know if many of our guys could handle talking to an agent to go overseas or things like that. So that's why I like to get them and put my arm around them early. And I, you know me, I'm big on structure. I'm big on programming. So that's really me, longevity. So that's why we focus on the kids.
Got you. I asked you this recently. If I'm an AAU coach and I got a team, or I'm a young athlete, why should I come play in the Loyal to the Game Summer Classic?
If you're a coach, I'll answer the coaching part first. Honestly, I feel like we are one of the more well-structured leagues out there on time. I feel like we're an extension to the school season. You know,
the high school season.
The high school season, yeah. You won't get a carousel of players on other teams. Like, this is a tournament where you can game plan for, right? Mm-hmm. This is a tournament where after a week or two, you know who you're playing against, you know who's on the other teams, and things of that nature. Like, as a coach, that's the things I appreciate. Like, if I play against the same team twice, I would like there to be some kind of structure. I don't want to play two different teams under the same name or something like that. And as for the players, I'm kind of going to leave that open-ended. It's all about what you're chasing. Yeah. If you're a player, I mean, we've go down the line past 5-6 years, the best players in the city, they've all played at LTG during the summer. So if you're chasing competition, if you're chasing quality basketball, you'll definitely get it there. If you're after other things, then it might not be the place for you. But it's really about basketball in that park. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Everything is earned.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Everything is earned. It's a fair platform. Like I said, like, you know, we have our teams that represent our program. But during those 2 months, I'm really for every kid.
Yeah.
I love to promote all the kids. I love to get to know new kids. Like, I don't care who wins the game. Mm-hmm. If my teams win or my programs win, yeah, I'd be a little happier. But I don't care who wins the game. I just love that platform. Like, I feel a lot of the time I limit myself to 10 or 15 kids when I could be impacting 1,500. Yep. You know what I mean? So that's my time to really just open the umbrella and show a lot of love and just hopefully give the kids a platform that they'll love, really.
And I learned a lot being a spectator at the tournament. Working close to you about the integrity of a summer tournament. That is something that is very important to you. For one, you don't like ringers, right? You don't want people claiming to be 14 when they're actually 16. And that's important to other teams because if they want their 14-year-olds to come out there and get quality play and develop against their peers, they don't want 17 and 18-year-old, 19-year-old kids going in there. That messes with the integrity, and that's something you fight hard against. And another thing that I've seen from your tournament, and I said, wow, you taught me how important it is. You don't want to go through a regular season playing against certain athletes, and then when the playoffs come, all these new kids come in, and that upends the integrity of the tournament. In your league, yo, you got to play at least 2 games or you ain't qualifying for the playoffs.
Yeah, once again, that's a lot of pro talk, man. That's how the unlimited divisions operate. It's not a bad thing, but it's pro basketball. You got guys flying in to play 1 or 2 games, then they got to go back to work and things like that. But for us, like I said, with our age limit divisions, like, you get a lot of kids that are returning to school. So the structure is important for them, you know, being able to mentally prepare for what's next. Now, we do have graduating seniors that play, but for the most part, not that many. So in terms of the playoff eligibility, yeah, you have to at least play 2 games throughout the season. And we give out 10 uniforms, but we don't allow a team to play more than 15 kids throughout the summer. So once you play 15 bodies, you can't bring any new bodies to your park. So when the playoffs come, you pick your best 10, and that's on you. All right? So that's just the way we keep track of it. And also, what was the first part?
About coaching?
About after that.
You said, playoffs, 2 games, ringers.
The ring. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. That's what I wanted to say. I had so much to say that it blew my mind.
Yo, he's serious.
Let me tell you something.
I need...
All right, let me tell you something. This is the worst thing in basketball. The worst thing in basketball is an ineligible player. I lose sleep. Let me tell you, and this is just to go on record, so for whatever and whoever, but I've lost friends over this in a tournament. I've lost teams. We've lost money out the budget because we enforced this. But it just makes no sense to me. Makes no sense to me. We offer 3 divisions. If you don't fit in one, which is rare, then you just shouldn't be playing. Right? So for our high school divisions, we require photo ID for you to get, you know, you only bring it once for your first game. Once you logged in on your roster, you're good to go. We have a coaches meeting every year, and if that's the only thing I talk about in the coaches meeting, I'm happy. You could take your packet. We don't have to speak on anything else, but just if a kid's not supposed to be playing, you're not doing the kid any favors. That's one. All right? You're not doing the kid any favors if he belongs in college, he's still playing high school ball. if he's a varsity athlete, but he's playing in the JV division.
Yeah.
Right? You're not doing the kid any favors. And, I mean, it's much bigger than the tournament. It's just the problem with basketball. Like, winning has become so important that
people want to skirt the rules.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what or who you affect in the process. And that it can't be. It can't be. Mm-hmm. So, I thank you for bringing that up. I will. Now, I mean, I'm always going to talk about it.
Yeah.
If you're ringing an LTG, your team will forfeit.
No ringing.
They will forfeit.
No ringing. For you, what are some things you are looking forward to this summer? I know the last time we did a podcast was 2019. And I said, yo, son, send it out. Send it out to people. And there was a bunch of youngsters that came up to you like, yo, okay, I'm ready. They weren't quite old enough then. But now they are. My young man, Jacob Roman, Big Z Zanell, like some new faces, man. What are you looking forward to this summer?
Actually, this summer is going to be pretty good because 2019, we did not have a 14 and under division. So we're already going to have a younger element in the park, a lot of future stars. We got a few teams coming from Queens. So I'm definitely always with the expansion in the other boroughs. And like you said, we have a ton of new programs. We have a middle school team, the Kings of Queens.
Okay.
They're coming down. We also have Team Crate coming from Far Rockaway. They are in 3 out of the 4 divisions, so they're going to be well represented. Mm-hmm. You know, they work all year round, so they're definitely going to have some pieces. This is my first time actually interacting with them. I've been looking forward to that. And then we got the returners. Like, I always, you know, we're human. We always get obsessed with shiny new things. But my returning teams, they are, like, it doesn't dawn on me until I talk to other people that summer title championship means something. Like, for me, it's all recreation. It's all, you know, it's basketball. Mm-hmm. I'm not involved coaching-wise. So I don't get caught up in that. But I see how serious some of the kids and coaches take it, and I'm really humbled by that. So
that's dope.
Yeah,
that's
because
dope.
We, you know, the first couple of years we had to beg kids to play.
Right.
You know, now kids, they're begging us to play. So it's a great problem to have, and as we grow, we just want to just find room to fit everybody in where a kid doesn't have to ask. Mm-hmm. Now they just know that they're good once they come around. So that'll be my goal, is to accommodate everybody. I know you can't, but that's the mentality.
I was on the phone the other day talking to a young man I had the privilege of coaching when I worked on the Brooklyn College men's basketball staff. It's a young man by the name of Anthony McLean. Mm-hmm. The last time we saw him play basketball, he helped the Brooklyn College Bulldogs win the city championship, and he was a championship game MVP. He said, "Coach, I'm bringing my Transit Express to Loyal to the Game." And not only was he somebody I had the privilege of coaching at Brooklyn College, but he played in LTG many summers.
This is what it's all about, man. That's the full circle.
That's
the full circle.
The pupil's becoming a teacher now.
That's it. Ant won 3 championships in LTG Summer League. He was on the only team to win varsity championships back-to-back-to-back.
Coach Cheese.
No other program has ever done it. Shout out to the brothers from another. That was where I've never coached Ant. I'll put that out there. Mm-hmm. I've never coached Ant. We have a very good relationship. And I kind of bridged him to Brooklyn College. Never coached him, but just saw him for 3 summers. Mm-hmm. Just saw his approach. You know, I knew what he wanted to major in as a student. And I just thought it was a good fit. And it worked out. Won a championship. And he's already giving back. He's not even done yet. And he's giving back. Yeah. So that's like I said, that's the full circle right
now. Is that the first time we had a former player in the tournament now coming back, bringing a team as a coach?
Off the top of my head, I want to say yes.
I look forward to seeing Anthony working the sideline.
Yeah, we haven't been around that long. A lot of the guys are still relatively young. That's what I'm saying. He got in the coaching game very early. So his playing career is not even over yet.
Straight up. So
he's definitely, and he's coming to win. He's coming to win.
Straight up. Earlier this year, I did a podcast with a young man by the name of Femi Odekale, who had just finished his freshman year at the University of Pittsburgh. First off, what you thought of the interview?
I thought I was very appreciative. You know what I mean? He showed me some love. I didn't expect it, but you know, that was just something I do with all my players. So to know that it stuck with him, somebody that's playing at that high of level, that, you know, it's heartwarming. it's heartwarming. So shout out to Femi, you know, for not forgetting where he came from, you know, taking his values with him that he learned from his parents, his coaches, his school, his community, and using that village that he had behind him, you know, to go places. And he's just getting started. Talking about guys that's not done yet. He's just getting started. I just want him to know a lot of people are looking up to him as well as looking out for him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just keep up the good work. But, yeah, Femi was a joy to coach. He was a joy to watch for everybody during the summer league days. Definitely played 3 or 4 years. And, you know, still a home for him. He stops by when he can.
That's what I wanted to say. So I did the Femi podcast. For those who don't know, in the podcast, he mentioned that he was all ACC academic. And he said that started back in his junior varsity days when Coach Baker was telling him that books can take you around this globe. Again, Femi is somebody that I got to know and see, watched him when he played for you, when he participated in the summer league year after year. For you, what's it like? Because you get into that point in your career where you have young men that, when we first met them, they were too young to play. And then when they finally get to play, the jersey's too big. And now they going on to do amazing things like playing in the ACC or with Sam Adawu, Mr. Unstoppable, is being a big-time pro overseas. What's that like for you to see that play out in real time, going from a young man to doing great things as young adults?
Yeah, there's nothing like it. Yeah, there's nothing like it. That's the ultimate reward, man. Like, To be there for the day by day, or, you know, over the course of the period, and then see like a flower blossom is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I'm speechless. I can't even put it into words. But I've seen it, and like you said, I'm at that point now where, you know, I'm about maybe 2 classes into my coaching career, so about 7 or 8 years, and yeah, like guys are adults. Like guys are adults. Like, they taking their own initiative. They're all going in different directions, but this is so much positive being done that you can't, it makes you want to keep going. Like, it makes you want to keep going. It like, especially now, and we had a game earlier today, and I was talking to the refs and coaches, like high school basketball is probably the worst it's ever been in New York City. Not in terms of talent or players, but just in terms of what it stands for right now. Like, it's borderline disgusting for me personally. And I mean, is, I don't see today how the kids find a substance in it anymore.
Okay.
You know what I mean? There's 100 coaches, there's 100 teams, there's 500 tournaments. Like, other than the elite, like, how do these kids know what to take serious? And nobody's showing them anymore.
Right.
So, like, when I meet new parents, you know, or I start to form relationships with parents, I tell them all basketball is not good basketball. You know, as a parent, you might feel, yeah, my kid is playing right now, or my kid, you know, he's sweating right now, but it's you know what I mean? All basketball is not good basketball. I'll leave it at that. And that's part of the journey for players, coaches, and parents, is to decipher, like, what's real and what's not. So right. I can't completely knock everybody, but we need to pay more attention to that than, is my kid playing or not? Or does he have,
are they getting the right things the sport?
Are they learning?
Are they developing?
Yeah, is it just another game? Are they operating like it's just another game? You know, you got to really pay attention to those things as a parent. And like I said, and me as a coach, I study the greats. I tell these kids, like, study the greats. It doesn't have to be the pros. Like, your favorite high school player, look at his journey. Your favorite college player right now, go out, study his journey. You know, follow the things they did. I guarantee you they weren't running around all over the place doing this, doing that. They were very specific in what they did. Mm-hmm. I mean, they critique things before they involve themselves, and it's okay to say no. It's okay to say no sometimes.
And you bring up a great point. It's got to be hard for a parent to navigate this landscape and know what's good and what's not. And that's why I put him on the camera behind the mic, because I think you got one of the dopest stories out there. A young man who played at Midwood, who walked on at Kingsborough, celebrated city championship, walked on at Brooklyn College, and became an all-conference performer. You know what it is to slay dragons. You know what it is to knock down doors and that weren't there for you. And that lesson is more important to young folks than anything specific to basketball. And I think you do a great job at that. The way you speak, it's almost as if you feel it's your duty to be out there. Like, yeah. You don't even got a choice.
Yeah, like, I'm trying to convey to these kids, like, nobody owes you anything. That's how I operate. Even when I'm experiencing success, like, I always feel like it's about to be over. Like, tomorrow, you know, it's going to be a bad day. You better be ready to work harder than ever. And that's what I try to convey to them. Not even to speak on myself, but I get in my own way sometimes because I want them to have so much, mm-hmm. you know, at the same time. So, you know, sometimes I reward before it should be rewarded. But, you know, like, what are we here for? If you can help a kid out, you help them out. If they don't appreciate it, or if you see that they're not willing to work, then you just got to change your gear. But I really want kids to know that you should not expect things to be handed to you. Like, to just put it in first grade terms, like, you should not expect things to be handed to you in any walk of life. Like, you have to be ready to compete. Like, we live in a world today where everything is a fingertip away for everyone, right. You know, at any time, if you're not serious about what you're doing, or if you're not trying to be the best at what you're doing, like, it could be taken away from you. And that's just real talk. There might be somebody like me who didn't really have a way paid for them, that might be just scratching and clawing and digging down the door to come for it. So, I mean, though, people like that still exist. They still exist.
People like that still exist. I mentioned Femi, he did the podcast. Again, he is part of that community that you're building there with your organization, Loyal to the Game, with the Summer Classic. You know, I love going out there with my cheer and watching the young folks. And that community is not just the players or the parents or the fans, but the coaches. And recently we lost one of those members of that community, a young man by the name of Coach Step. I actually got his government here. I never heard his government before. I want to make sure I got it. A young man by the name of Senyo Toppenway. Everybody knows him as Coach Step.
Right.
Even if we ain't know his government, we knew his heart, man. And he was a good dude. How did it come to be, like, what can you tell us about first meeting Coach Step, and how did it come to be that he became a staple at the tournament year in and year out?
My relationship with Step goes back to 13, 14 years old, man. Just being one of these kids, playing tournament to tournament, running around the city, train rides together. A lot of these kids may not even know about Hoopland, but Hoopland, that was in the Hoopland prime. And you could find Step in Hoopland every day playing ball. He came up just like a lot of these kids did, loving the game. And like I said, he was like me. I was like him. He fell in love with the process. Fell in love with the process. You could see by his first passion, right, being a videographer. Mm-hmm. He wanted to document everybody's best moments, right? I think that in itself explains who he is. You know, whether he put it out there or not, he had it. You know, if you contact Step right now, ask him about this day, that day, that day, he'll tell you, yo, send me a hard drive, I'll put it on there for you. So he was, one of the conversations I had with Step a couple years ago, he said, in like 20 years, I'm just dropping a New York City documentary. All the basketball I've recorded the past 15, 20 years, I'm just gonna put it together and put it out there. He was one of those people. He was not about instant gratification. He was not about instant gratification. I mean, he was about the process. He was about the grind. And you could ask any of his players. That's what he was about. Big picture. He was a big picture guy.
So what was the conversation like when you guys decided to, like, because he coached many years.
Yeah. So we, both of our organizations started around the same time. LTG, Brooklyn Avengers, we all started around the same time. So we brainstormed. We were young guys. We confused paperwork, insurance, you know, nonprofit stuff, things of that nature. So we just bounce ideas off of, you know, we two guys that didn't know much. We just try to put together what we know and come up with something. So we used to talk about those things all the time. He was the director of Brooklyn Avengers. He founded that along with Legends. So we were in the same boat with a lot of things. But like I said, and this goes back to what the kids lost out on last year. My relationship with Step is formed from my playing days.
Right.
A lot of the people who participate in a tournament, our relationship existed way before this tournament, you know, so they know me as a person first. This the business and the collaborating just came after. So that's what it was with Step. You know, if it's the same thing, if he had a tournament, I would have definitely been in there all the time. So he brought his teams down to LTG. Legend at the time was getting started with girls, so together they had a program. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They had a program and they were building. We shared a lot of the same kids. We were about the same thing. If he had something going on, my kids would go. If I had something going on, his kids would come. So we lost a critical piece for our youth. We lost a guy that was willing to do a lot of legwork without recognition. That is special.
You had to see coaches step in action. He'd be on the sideline recording and coaching
same time.
At the same time, man. But his passion was unmatched. This was a young man that was disabled, and he had no problem letting you know that. In fact, he was using his story to motivate others. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm out here, you guys can be out here too. So we definitely lost one, the LTG community, shit, the basketball community as a whole. Rest in peace to Coach Step.
Yeah, we just got to keep his name alive. Because once you say his name, you know what he stands for. So it's self-explanatory. And his play is going to make sure that happens, things like that. So shout out to Coach Step, man. Appreciate him for everything he did.
Coach Baker, put a bow on the summer tournament. Just let the people know again what's going on.
All right, so we got the 7th installment of the Loyal to the Game Summer League. This year we will be hosting every age group you can name of 10, 12, 14, 16, and varsity boys and girls. The 10U and the 12U, 10 and 12-year-olds, will have a weekend in August. All the other divisions, they'll play your usual round-robin league throughout July. Championship game is slated to be August 7th. August 7th, I believe, will be Family Day. Family Day, Championship Day, Saturday, August 7th. That's a day you definitely want to mark on your calendar. We do that day big. Giveaways, food, you know, that's just where we wrap things up in a loving way. But we are at Harry Mays Playground, so on East 57th Street and Avenue D. This year's games will be played Thursday through Sunday, Thursdays and Friday evenings. Saturday and Sunday, we out there sun up till sundown. It's one of the most comfortable parks you could come to, so don't forget your chair. We got a lot of space to accommodate everyone, but we coming back in a big way. I've been receiving some drafts of the uniforms. Uniforms are looking crazy. I just need the players to know that the coaches and the organizers, we've been looking forward to this as much as them. So we're definitely going to make sure you guys are well taken care of.
Sounds good. Now, Loyal to the Game is not just a summer tournament.
Absolutely not. It's a small part of what we do.
What else you got going on?
Well, right now, our organization is in a really good spot team-wise. You know, I think this is the most teams we've had on the road since we started. Right now, we currently have 3 teams on the road, with one more on the way. We have a 7th grade team, a 9th and a 10th. We kind of hit the reset button during the pandemic. So we started with the younger high school, getting them groomed, and we got the 7th grade who, in September, they'll be playing a nice 8th grade schedule. But yeah, that's something I'm really proud of.
So these are teams that play outside of the summer tournament?
Yeah.
They travel over different cities all year round.
Our 15U probably had the busiest year this year. They went out to Massachusetts. We went to Jersey a couple of times. Next year, they'll be doing a lot more, a lot earlier, you know, because we still got started late this year because things just started to open up. But yeah, we're on the road. We'll be up and down the East Coast for the next few years.
Your organization recently just went on its first overnight trip.
First overnight trip, yeah.
That was a pretty big deal for you, huh?
That's a very big deal. We've been in the game for a very long time. But that was our first trip, yeah, outside the tri-state area. That was my first trip.
That was my first AAU trip at 36 years old. What were some takeaways? Tell me about the experience. What are some things you learned, some do's and don'ts? What was it like for you, son? Because as you mentioned, as an organizer, as a coach, this is special for you as well.
Yeah, I enjoyed myself. I learned, I'm trying to put this in words the best.
It's a family show.
Right. Let me start positive. I learned to trust the kids a little bit more.
Okay.
I learned to trust the kids a little bit more in the sense that they're exposed to a lot more than we were ever at 15. right? So you got to kind of see the world through their eyes as much as you can. Okay. As much as you can. Because the things we were faced with at 15, whether they were tougher or not, they were just different, period.
Yeah.
They were just different, period. Like you said, that was your first trip. Mm-hmm. Like, for me, I'm thinking, I would like to think, hey, listen, we're going out of town, we getting on this bus, we driving 5 hours, we you know what I mean, we packing up, we moving fast, right? I'm thinking this is something that will receive the utmost attention, the utmost care, utmost diligence. This kid's been on 3-4 trips in the past 5 weeks, you know what I mean? This is, sometimes it's just another trip to them. So like I said, it's a learning experience, man. If I stop learning, then I'm not doing my job. Right. So like I said, I learned a lot about the kids this week. I learned to trust them. Not this week, during that trip. I learned to trust them some more. And I kind of like where I'm going with the coaching and not being as controlling. Mm-hmm. Just trusting the work some more. You know, I'm starting to see that, you know, game time is a little bit more for the players. You know, if I'm doing my job properly, then when it comes game time, it's your show. So you need a solid group of kids for that. We got that. They pay attention. They focus. They love what they do. And it's starting to take care of itself. Like I said, this September will be the first time we have an elementary team that's already in the works. So, you know what I mean? Any new basketball, we take them all. And the work shows. We take them all. Good, bad, just starting. NBA bound, we take them all. And
let me ask you this. Why is it important for your team to get out on the road and play in a tournament in Massachusetts or Philadelphia, or as you mentioned, up and down the East Coast? Why?
Well, first, I believe it's most important for them to see how many different ways the game can be played. That's very important. New Jersey basketball, New York basketball, separated by a tunnel, bridge, whatever. It's two different styles of basketball.
Okay.
Right? New York basketball in the city and New York basketball up in the counties, two different types of basketball. Mm-hmm. So it's important for them to see that, because a lot of our kids only know how to play one way, you know, and let's be real, the higher the level you go, each coach has his own system. Each coach has a different way of playing the game. So it's important for them to see that. Also, what I like, the networking aspect. I met a few coaches that I know I may only talk to once or twice ever again in my life, mm-hmm. but that option is there. You know, I would like the kids to do the same. You know, if you've never been to Maryland or if you've never been to this state or that state, learn something about that. You never know. That might be your only look in school a couple of years. And things of that nature. So it's all about them absorbing. You know what I mean? I feel like here sometimes in New York it gets redundant. You know, mm-hmm. it's not too much we can do at home. You know, the tournaments are the same players, every other tournament, just a different team.
Right.
You know, you fall into that comfort zone. It's just like us. We go somewhere, there's nobody we know, there's no safe haven, you're gonna be that much sharper. Right, you're going to take things that much more serious. So that, I believe that's what the travel ball is about. You know, it's taking them out of their comfort zone and making them earn right. everything they get.
That's part of the development of being a young man.
That's it. When you go into these gyms, I mean, the only thing you have is your game and, mm-hmm. and what you produce. You know, there's no parent on the sideline. There's no friends from your building rooting you on, celebrating your only 2 points. Like, you got to show and prove.
And also from a visibility standpoint. You know, these kids have aspirations of playing college basketball. You never know who's going to be in these teams.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's honestly number one. It's the exposure. It's the exposure. That goes back to my point of making sure you know what type of basketball your kids are playing. You know, parents research these events. You know, research if coaches are even allowed to be there. You got certain times of the year where coaches cannot attend and coaches cannot evaluate your child. So it may be in your best interest during that period to have a kid training or working out and not just playing games that won't get him to the next level, you know. So, like I said, we took them out to Westford, Massachusetts. It was not during the live period, but there were, you know, Division II, Division III coaches in attendance. And, like, I believe I shared something the other day, like only 10% of high school basketball players get to play college basketball, and that's all levels combined. So any look on the next level is a good look in my eyes, so. That's the number one reason I'm in the business, to put kids into college.
Now, Kay, Well, let me talk to the audience first. Again, I know Kayvon from our days being teammates at Kingsborough Community College. A little bit about me. After high school, I went to the Army, and then I came home, and I had was able to celebrate some championships at Kingsborough. I went on to York where I was an all-conference performer. And we mentioned, like, yo, he at 36 years old. This was my first AAU trip. I ain't really come up in that environment. Okay, sometimes I walk in these gyms, and I don't really know what to think, man. I feel like it's at times it's a bunch of unqualified individuals that have a clipboard and a whistle, and now they're a coach. I look at these AAU teams, and they just grabbing kids and piecing them together. There's no development. They're not teaching them the qualities that the sports are supposed to be teaching them. So many days, I don't know what to think of AAU basketball. First off, how fair is that criticism?
You're 110% on the nose. It's very accurate. Very accurate. It's like I said, it's our lead. It's the people with the power too. That's the funniest part. That's the funniest part. Is the people with the money, the people with the resources, you know what I mean? The people with the facilities.
Right.
They're just using it. They're not using it in the kids' best interest a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. Right? If you were, you would be instilling morals, you'll be instilling structure, you'll be helping young men and women understand deadlines, scheduling, things that they're gonna deal with long after basketball.
Bouncing back from adversity.
Things like, yeah, like I said,
So let me ask you this. What is loyal to the game and Kayvon Baker's place in the AAU ecosystem? What is your contribution?
Our contribution is I'm trying to show that you could be successful without being or having the best. Okay. It's all about your effort, all about your perseverance. You know what I mean? It's very possible to be a successful basketball player without being the best basketball player.
Absolutely.
If you get what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
It's very possible to be a successful notarized program without having the best of everything. You don't have to have the best gear. You don't have to have the most money. You don't have to travel in the most luxurious vehicles. But if you are dedicated to the goal and you keep your eye on the prize, you will get what you want. You will get what you want. And I feel like that road is often avoided now. You know, if a kid plays 15 minutes and he thinks he should play 20, he's going to play for another team.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, I'm 5 minutes away from playing how much I want.
Right.
Let me work as hard as I can. And Parents, you know, coaches that really care, gotta speak up.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta speak up. Because we all know if I go to work tomorrow and my boss tells me something I don't like, I can't just find a new job tomorrow right away and just start working for them, right? You gotta get the job done where you at. So I think we need to emphasize more structure, man. Like more structure.
Gotcha. Kayvon Baker is a physical education teacher. Kayvon Baker is a head varsity basketball coach. As he mentioned, he has AAU teams of all different age groups. He's the commissioner of a summer event here in Brooklyn. When it comes to basketball, what's the hardest part of being Kayvon Baker? You got parents, you got athletes, you got referees, you got traveling, you got a tournament, you got individual workouts, you got team workouts. What's the hardest part of being Kayvon Baker?
Because
I couldn't do it, ladies and gentlemen. I know y'all see me around sometimes. I'm here in support of my brother. But his position, man, there's a lot going on.
I think I could take some of my own advice. I think I have to stop trying to be a part of everything. Now, I think I need to narrow it down. I mean, lock in on a few key things that we'd like to produce for the kids and excel at that before, you know, we do too much. I think that's not something I struggle with, but, you know, sometimes doing too much.
Mm-hmm.
Less is more sometimes. Less is more. There's been times where I may have one thing in motion and it works out. And I feel tremendous compared to a time where I have three or four average things in motion and I'm just miserable. So I think sometimes less is more. But at the same time, we're trying to get the program out there.
So it takes hard work.
Yeah, we're trying to get the program out. Yeah, it takes some losses on the way to where you want to be. So I'm not against that.
I got something that we talk about in private. Having plans and you know, counting on certain kids to be there one day, and then the next day, they're gone.
Right. Yeah, it's still a myth. It's still a mystery to me. I don't know, because I feel personally I'm very welcoming. I feel like the way my mind works, if I'm around a kid for a couple of hours, a couple of days, like I just start to formulate a plan for that kid. Big right. picture plan. Like I see the perfect product at the end of the tunnel. So that plan can't come to fruition if a kid is missing. If a kid doesn't want to work out or communication.
Right.
In this generation with teenagers.
But you're up against a lot. You know, you talk about sometimes guys want to move on to different programs who may have a more prominence or may have a sneaker deal. And that's tough for an administrator to deal with.
Absolutely, but I would never advocate against elevation.
Right.
Like that's what I'm saying. Just because those things are in place, certain mm-hmm. things like that you mentioned, doesn't mean it's better.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
For sure.
Doesn't mean it's better. So you're telling me the difference between you playing for team A and team B would be a pair of sneakers? Like if you're not barefoot, then that shouldn't really be a big deal. I mean, if at one place you're getting quality production, you feel yourself getting better. Mm-hmm. Every time you go to a gym, those teams are there. You're in the same places. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're in the same places. So,
is there anything you can do to combat that phenomenon of having plans in place for a kid and their family, and then they're gone?
Well, me, I do the best I can, man. I show them parents with my sweat, with my undying effort that I'm here for everything. I know that. I know every time I'm in the gym, I'm going 110. Not 100, not 95, I'm going 110. So, I mean, if...
I think there is something you could do, and you're doing it now.
Which is?
Being behind this mic and talking to your constituents, your athletes, and your families. Because those of us that have that are in your presence, we know the vision.
Right.
We know what the plans are. But as a coach, not even a coach, as the director, the leader, it's your duty to chart the course and express that message to your people. They may not know what's on your mind.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Now, I agree. I think I've been getting a little bit better with the communication. So let me explain something to you like this, and it's gonna piggyback off what you said. You have so many plans or players or athletes or parents that have received and then it fell through. You know, at naturally at some point you start playing the protect game. You know, because people are taking everything you've given them or taking what they've learned. And
you as administrator or parent?
As an administrator, okay. Just as a for the program, right? You start playing the protect game. You know what I mean? Like, let's say you have five kids, you give them everything. And they just take it and go. Now mm-hmm. you're starting with square one. Like, in my opinion right now, instead of four teams on the road, we should have like six or seven. Mm-hmm. Like, we've had enough kids come through the program. We've had enough kids develop in the program that, you know, they should be here. Like, in some capacity, you know, it takes a village to get anywhere. But in some capacity, they should still be involved. So at some point, you got to start to protect your resources, especially when you're not a program that is given too much.
Right.
So that's probably where we were, especially in the pandemic. Like right now, with the teams on the road, and it's so ironic, we have the most teams we've ever had, and we didn't have tryouts this year at all. The last tryout we had was a day before the city got shut down. That's the last tryout we had. And we have the most teams that we've ever had. So it just shows that staying the course, you know, making yourself readily available mm-hmm. and having everything in place when the right people come is going to work.
Like, what's that team you have right now that I like? Isaac and Cody. Like, what age is that?
13 and under. Seventh grade. That's seventh grade.
Like, I know what you have planned for them, right. but do they and the families, because that unit, that's not just about next week's tournament or this summer.
That's the next five years.
You're trying to build that for years. Not only have them develop individually, but develop as a unit.
They know.
And travel around this place tearing up stuff.
It's funny you say that because that might be the only group that knows. That might be the group that improved my level of communication. Because when it comes to the high schoolers, I could deal with them direct. We're talking about 12 and 13-year-olds. It's very hard without guardians, yeah. Right, and parents. So those are the people I communicate with. You know, I'm not communicating with a 17-year-old kid. I'm communicating with a 12-year-old's parent now. It's a big difference. So I can be a little bit more direct with my delivery, you know, and give the parent the option of, you know, accepting or denying what we're trying to do. And it's a lot easier that way instead of trying to convince a kid. It's almost like a constant recruiting when you're dealing with the high school kids, like week to week. I'm not even talking about season to season anymore. Like, the high school basketball in New York is in a bad place right now.
But letting these people know the investment, right. Like, yo, we got tournaments, we got practice. Like, I'm going to give you all I got. I need that same effort from you. Because, again, I don't have the resources of other organizations. And even when we talk about resources, let the families know you apply for nonprofit status. Why is that important? Because then you will be eligible for political funds that are earmarked for organizations like that. You know what I'm saying? Families, stay with me. I'm on my way. I need my people to know, when it comes to this college basketball stuff, I don't know too many people that got a doper story than him and I. Knocking down doors. Maybe I got DA. He came from the islands, got himself. But
shout out to DA.
My guy, and he really did it. You know, knocking down doors, as again, had the will and desire to just keep persevering, even when there were no handouts. And that's the message you're trying to relay to the youth. And you're on your way. And I'm not saying college basketball is a prerequisite for coaching. No, because I know a lot of folks who didn't play who are great coaches. Absolutely. But when I look in these AAU gyms, I see guys that are demanding accountability and hard work and all these stuff. I'm like, Doug, you ain't never exhibited those qualities anywhere in your life. I know you. So it's kind of scary out there. But I just hope the people know, man. And again, like I said, you're doing a great job on the mic. Let the people know the vision, bro. Because yeah. I know. Well, that's why you see me next to you.
I hear you. I mean, LTG, big picture, man, is...
Like, what's the calendar like for the rest of the year? Like,
it's so much to say. All right, so here we go. School's coming back. Everything should be open to full capacity. We're going to be in the gym. We're going to be in your community September through June before we're back here next summer, July and August. Like you said, our nonprofit status is in transition. We should be getting everything squared up in a couple of weeks. Like I said, we're gonna look to have the school teams throughout the year, September through June, tutoring for the middle schoolers who'll be part of our program. And then, you know, high schoolers will be in school, so they won't start back until the next spring. But like I said, we should see the return of One Umbrella this fall, with the school gymnasiums open back up. That's for children 6 through 10 or 11. And like I said, man, so much is going to change over the next year. It's kind of hard to put it on paper right now and get ahead of myself, but it's going to be we're all about offering more every opportunity we get. And like you said, with the opportunity to start receiving the donations and the support from, you know, a couple politicians that we already met with and things like that in the past, it's going to be rewarding for everyone who stuck through it with us. You know what I mean? Everyone who has supported and everyone who has believed in the vision, and even those who start to believe in it. And I mean, now's a good time because, like I said, we got a ton of good people behind us. Majority of what we do is family-based. You know, there aren't real employees or guys here just to fill positions. It's all done from the heart and from a vision that started way before the program started. So this is done with genuine care, and it needs to be more of that. It needs to be more guys who genuinely care where a kid ends up 5-6 years from now,
right?
Instead of, you know, what he's gonna do in the next 32 minutes in the game and stuff like that.
Fair enough.
Real talk. So, I mean, the players got to make it a little easier on the coaches as well. I'm here bashing the guys in charge, but I tell you all the time, like, yo, I can see how coaches got the way they got.
Yeah.
You give a kid so many opportunities, and all he acts like or she acts like is there going to be another opportunity the next time up. So, like I said, we just got to get back to, you got to get back to being goal-oriented, okay? I know why I got into this game, all right? Coaches need to know why they're getting into this game. Players need to know why they play this game. And I think if you stay focused on that, you'll make good decisions from the start to the finish.
Got you, man. Got you, man. We about to get out of here. You got any shout-outs?
Yeah, man. I want to shout out a lot of people. Shout-out to the LTG Hoopers, man. All my guys. My 13 other squad. Shout-out to the high schoolers. Shout-out to all of our coaches. Shout-out yourself, my guy Will. Shout-out Coach Reg. Shout-out Coach G. Shout-out Taz. I want to shout-out a few schools. Shout-out a few school coaches, man. A few of the guys that's doing it right. Shout-out to KP. Now, he don't care who you are. You're going to play this game the right way. Shout-out to Coach Anwar. That's my guy. We talk all the time. Shout-out to Coach Ann Canarsie Nation. There's just so many guys. If I forget you, man, don't kill me. Shout-out to Legend. I mean, he's the front runner right now. Make sure we keeping Two Steps name alive. That was his right hand, man. You know, I got you. Anything you need. Shout out to the East Flatbush community. We coming back. All my ladies on the block, when you hear the microphone Saturdays and Sundays, it's just us. Don't get too worried. Let's see, man. Who the guys I give the most hell? Shout out to Big Larry. Shout out to Jake. Who else, man? Shout out to AB.
Two names I want to shout out. This young man transferred into John Dewey after they had some craziness going on at Roberson.
Oh, man.
And he had to handle his books, and he's going to be graduating this year, my man Frontley.
Shout out FP, man. FP, I'm real proud of you. When you see this, I hope you know that I know your journey was the toughest. and you getting to the finish line same time as everybody else. All right, so that's big time. That's big time. It's one of my proudest accomplishments this year, FP. You know what we're talking about. Shout out to the Wingate community, Wingate Park, 3 fresh new courts. Shout out to Dunker's Delight, one of my favorite tournaments coming up. It's coming back. Like I said, man, New York high school basketball overall is not really in an appealing place right now, but it could be easily turned around, man. Mm-hmm. We got the guys. We got the best players. We got the passion. You know, everything we stamp turns to gold. We just got to stamp the right things. Shout out to the entire LTG family, WBH Radio. I hope it's not 2 years before I'm back again. But I know how it go.
You too busy, man. That's what it is. You too busy.
Shout out to Coach Penny at Brooklyn College as well.
For sure.
Steadiest hand in the building.
For sure. Don Hammond, vacation's over, man. Time to get back to work.
Hi.
Yo, my man Kayvon Baker. I'm William Holly. That's WBH Radio. We out.
Peace.